It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
We'll finish out a series on weeds with a look at the blossoms that are sometimes displayed on wily interlopers, allowing them to disguise themselves in a flower bed. This summer, I've been finding big rounded leaves, soft fuzzy stems, and occasional pinkish-purple blooms on a plant commonly called devil's claw. If left long enough to its own devices, it will produce a most peculiar fruit, which starts out looking a bit like a green banana that soon dries to a 5-inch-long, curved capsule. As the capsule splits, black seeds are released, and the woody shell with the curving shape becomes the devil's claw that the weed is named for. In some areas, devil's claw is considered a novelty plant, with the curving hooked claw used to create rather strange figures complete with little costumes. In other areas, it can become a noxious weed that competes with crops for moisture and nutrients, or hooks onto the legs or lips of livestock. Other flowering weeds that at first glance might seem interesting but can quickly become invasive include Chinese lantern and wild poinsettia. Both of these plants are actually offered for sale in catalogs and on the internet, but I would warn anyone who is thinking of making them a part of your landscape. Several years ago, I allowed a leafy plant that sported creamy blooms, followed by little transparent lantern shapes, to remain at the edge of our shelter belt. It's now an invasive weed in my vegetable garden and has also made an appearance in the asparagus bed. The only thing that slows it down is Roundup, and even that has to be repeated every spring in order to catch overwintering shoots. Chinese lantern's tenacity is matched by that of wild poinsettia, a euphorbia that is closely related to various poisonous plants of the nightshade clan. The leaves are shaped like miniature Christmas poinsettias, and it sports the same round seed centers, surrounded by red-tinged flower petals. Believe me when I say that Christmas does not come in July, so don't encourage this invasive weed in holiday clothing. Perhaps the most common weed, known for its flower power, is the purple henbit. This winter annual comes up in the fall, matures and blooms in the spring, and dies when the weather starts to turn to the heat of summer. A member of the mint family, henbit stands squarely between being a weed or a wildflower. In some ways, the purple blooms bring color early on after a drab winter. The real problem with henbit occurs after it blooms, when it begins to get leggy and yellow as it goes through its death throes in the hot sun. But just about the time I think I can't stand the stuff after all, it disappears with the first hot spell and or on the first mowing of summer. At that time, I'm usually so busy dealing with the real bad boys of the garden, like bindweed and spurge and Johnson grass, that I don't sweat the small stuff. If you are bound and determined to get rid of henbit, you'll need to put down a pre-emergence in the fall in order to get a jump on it. I've personally found it helpful to develop a little tolerance toward henbit, because no matter how hard you try to get rid of it, it's going to be reintroduced each year from the yards, ditches, and fields all around, where the little purple flower will abound.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini and produced by the staff at HPPR. To listen to other Growing on the High Plains episodes, visit hppr.org.